I'd like to address a few topics that are definitely on our mind for the next coming weeks. I'll try to throw in, if I can, some ideas as well about this week's Parsha and the fact that it's Parsha's Para as well. But the four ideas I want to mention briefly is the idea, number one, of leaving yeshiva. Many of us are heading, I don't want to say home, but home, to where our family live. I want to talk about what it means to be home. How do we go about properly being home? How to make sure we come back properly, or come back at all, but hopefully come back properly. And the last one is I want to just make sure that in order to understand all these three topics, you have to really have a vision of yourself. Where do you see yourself in life? So I'll start with a small, very brief story. So it just happened this past Shabbos. I was walking with my little daughter, my 4-year-old Tara. We were walking through the garbage out in Shabbos, and as I was walking out, my neighbor was coming out of his house. He said, "I have to walk over to your house," he says to me. "I have a quick question to ask you." I said, "Let me throw the garbage out, I'll come back in 1 minute." I came back to his house with my daughter, Tara. My neighbor says to me the following question. He says, "What was going on this week's Parsha? There's a Shalshelis." I'm not sure if any of you follow the Trump. We're talking today a little bit about Trump in our shiur today. The idea of the Tamim, what Chazal put on top of the words in the Torah, are very significant. You learn a lot from those words and those Tamim and the vows. As a matter of fact, we're told, I think it's Gemara Megillah, Daf Gimel, Rashi I think quotes it there as well, that even maybe from Sinai, the Trump was brought down to us. Every single Trump was particular for the reason that's there. There are many drushas people give, none of the Lagonas, many drushas to explain different trumps that we have. So he asked me, in this week's Parsha, we have the word, and there are some that are more obvious than others. You have a Shalshelis when Lot is vacillating to leave, to not to leave, his whole city is being destroyed. When Yosef HaTzadik is trying to fight his Yetzer Hara, when Eish Potiphar is threatening his spiritual well-being, then we have this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu does a Shechita, Vayishchat. What was the dilemma? So about, I don't know what it was, 6-7 years ago, I had the schus of being in the five towns, going special schus, and we were at a Torah Trag event for a breakfast, or Olshan and myself were there, and we heard a shiur by Rabbi Johnny Shipple. If you've heard of it or not, but he's an excellent speaker. He can get a shul now somewhere in Manhattan, and he's involved in YU in some capacity, at least he used to be. And he asked a question, a similar question about the Shalshelis, and particularly this one right here in last week's Parsha. And he pointed out and he suggested that this Vayishchat was the very last time Moshe Rabbeinu would be giving a korban in this capacity. From this point forward, it's all on Aaron and his children. Moshe Rabbeinu's final offering in this capacity as being like a Kohen Gadol, playing that role until he gave it up. There was no moral dilemma. Should I run? Should I not run? Eish Potiphar, or be holy? It was a realization that right now in his life, things were going to change. That he hit a point, and now he's at a new reality in his life. And there's now an Aaron, and there's now Kohanim, and he's Moshe Rabbeinu, no longer playing that role anymore. There may be people in this room right now, particularly the ones who are Shana Bet, who are. It's the end of an era. It's the end. I had this course of speaking to Avery Lubin just this morning, and he wanted me to pass out a message to the Shabbat boys that why he was also very good, and there's a lot to look forward to, Baruch Hashem, for those guys who are going. And at the same time, I will never forget when I left my yeshiva, for the last time, at least when I was a student. I remember looking back at just watching the scenery just kind of get behind me, and realizing that I had an era of my life that was over. And that's very hard to emotionally come to grips with. You can ask Jimmy Keller, he'll tell you all about how hard it was. But even if you're Shana Aleph, it's the same difficulty. Because you may not have dawned on you yet, but we always talk about the year in Israel, when you're in high school, and it's almost over. And we're going to be, many of us are going to be taking the next step somewhere else for Chag. And the yeshiva and the divani and Bayavagan are going to be in the rearview mirror. Not totally for a long time, but in some ways for a long time. Because Shana Aleph is really, we're on the second half of it, and even more than the second half of it. The last fifth. And this is what we've been waiting for, we're talking about for so long. And now we're heading home. You must have a game plan. I can't stress enough the significance of having a plan when you're somewhere else at a yeshiva. That means what you want to do and what you don't want to do. They're equally important. And you have to find out. Don't wait until you get home to answer those questions. You have Rebbeim, we're here right now. If you speak to all your Rebbeim, or pick two or three, whatever it is that you want, find out what's. You know yourself better than anyone else does. You're your own coach. What are you weak in? What are you strong in? What do you think you should do better on? Ask your Rebbeim, pick their brain. If you go back and you don't have a game plan, then you're destined to fail. Because you don't even know what challenges are coming your way. And even when you have a game plan, you have to make sure that you understand that there will be curveballs. There will be events you didn't foresee. And therefore you have to know how to handle them as well. I'll give you an example. A story that happened a number of years ago. My wife and I are both blessed to have six children, but two sets of twins that were born 15 months apart. And thank God now they're 13 and 12 respectively, and like, you can breathe a little bit. But when they were young, we used to travel on airplanes. We would have, I mean, you picture the following scene. I don't think you can picture it. It's a nightmare. For myself, for many years, I had nightmares like this. But you have four infants that cannot walk, and you're carrying four car seats onto airplanes with you to try to figure out how you're going to lock them in so they don't run around the entire plane. We had about 3 years when we would travel home, or back to America, I should say, during Ben Hazmanim, during the summertime, or Pesach time, and we had to schlep four car seats and four infants that could not walk. So we had, like, you know, tucked into baby Bjorns, like, front and back. I had like, you know, it was a ridiculous scene. But one time we actually went on a flight, and traveling with us back to Israel after one of our trips was an entire girls' high school that was there on a chesed trip. So I'm the biggest chesed case right now. I need their help so badly. You can imagine. It was like a home run for us. But surprise, when we landed and we're taking out this seat and that seat and this kid and holding by the leg and that. And the girls, we turned around, they were all gone. And they had all seen us on the trip, and they saw how many, and they didn't do chesed on the trip. They just landed, and I need a lot of chesed. And they completely were in their own world, their own planet. Why? It wasn't part of their itinerary. It wasn't on their lists. Help some schlub when in the airplane with four little infants and car seats. It wasn't on their list. So they didn't do it. So okay, so Baruch Hashem, we managed up till then, we managed that trip as well. When you get home, as many plans as you may have for yourself, as many thoughts as you may have, there are going to be curveballs. But if you always think for a little bit of time, what's my goal? What's my hope? What am I leaving to from? What am I going to? And you just plug that equation into whatever you're up to right now in life, usually the answer will be fairly obvious. And if it's not obvious, you know what you should do? What a different student did this morning. He called me this morning at 1:30 in the morning. His time to ask me a question. What do I do in this following circumstance? I'm not sure what to do right now. You have Baruch Hashem many Rebbeim, and they all want to hear from you. They all do. And at whatever time, if you can wish to, through WhatsApp or through phone calls or through email, if you're not sure what to do, so you reach out and you ask your Rebbe. You reach out and you share with him your dilemma, or a Shana Bet guy, or someone else that you look at as a role model, as a mentor for you. But if you go back and you do not have a game plan, then we're basically gonna chalk up the next month to be a very big hurdle in your future growth. When you get home, when you get back to America or Canada, so it's all about momentum. Momentum is the most important thing I could share with you. Momentum. There's a phrase in Mishnah Avos, and many people talk about it, of mitzvah goreres mitzvah and avera goreres avera. There's many deep spiritual ideas behind that, but it's also just very natural, very normal. If you're in a great groove and you're doing well, you find more opportunities to do things well. If you make a mistake and you slip up and you don't like shake yourself back to yourself again, then there's a good chance that that's going to lead to the next one and then lead to the next one afterwards. So when you come in and you realize right away, I'm going to make my first move. Just realize that first move is not only an isolated move. That will lead to the next day and their moves, and the following day and their moves. If you go back and you're not concerned about this at all, if you're home and you're not concerned, then we're also in a lot of trouble. You should be somewhat worried. Because the truth is that you're going to be exposed to things that we have, hopefully, have not been exposed to over the last number of months. And you know how good you are or not good you are at those things. And therefore, your role has to be to realize from day one, when you get back, it's only for a few weeks. And by the way, it's a big treat sometimes to see how you do. But to plan and to make sure that you're doing a fine job in those things. No one knows what to expect from you. Meaning your friends, even your parents. They speak to you, they hear from you, but you are whatever you want to be. Let's pretend, even though those people are not like us in this room, but let's pretend you had a terrible Zman. You barely did anything. No one knows that except for us. And we're not telling anyone about that. When you go back, people are going to see you. They're wondering, how did you do it? And you have two choices. You know, you can wear your heart on your sleeve and you can show everyone how you're doing or how you're not doing. Or you can say to yourself, like, if I'm going to hope right now to set a tone in my family, among my friends, of who I am, who I want to be right now, I'm going to make sure to raise the bar, even maybe more than I'm up to right now, so that this is the one time when no one knows. They're all going to know after they see me a little bit of time, so I'm going to make sure to raise it so they don't cry. Let's say I had friends of mine who didn't have a chazit, didn't go to Israel for the year, and they were in college campuses, and they're not really thriving religiously. And they're going to ask me if I want to go somewhere with them. This is my one shot I have to set the bar wherever I want to set it. And I can say to them the following thing. I don't do that anymore. Now, it may be embarrassing to say that. It might be embarrassing to... You're not putting your friend down, God forbid. I'm not doing that. I don't eat there anymore. I don't go to those scenes anymore. I don't watch those kinds of movies anymore. You could say that. And when you say it one time, like, it's in the books. The bar has been set. There's no more embarrassment. They know where you stand right now. I cannot tell you how difficult it is to not set the bar right and try to change midstream. It's too late. Because then they don't know what to expect from you, and then for you to make a change like that. But right now, no one knows what to see from you. Let's even pretend, chas v'shalom, that you don't wear tzitzis. Chas v'shalom. Maybe you should wear tzitzis when you go home, and not only wear them, maybe even wear them out. I'm not saying you have to. I'm explaining to you that you want to show people that you look differently. People should judge you and treat you differently. And by the way, if you're not different after being in Israel for 5 or 6 months, then something is very wrong. It's not called a flip out. It's called being around something and adjusting to your environment and being educated. If you go for a month to some third world country and you were working in the middle of a nothing field trying to help save people's lives, you will come back impacted because you were somewhere for a month that you experienced things that were very unusual. You've been spending the last number of months in Eretz Yisrael. For you to come back and even to hope, and people hope of you that you are the same as you left, would mean that there's nothing going on in between your ears and nothing stuck. No one wants that to happen. Even your friends would like to see some sort of a change in you. Well, what'd you do the whole entire time? So figure out how you want to express those changes. And most importantly, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Your friend says to you, you know what? Let's go to that place we always used to frequent. You know, the place we always did those stuff in, you know? And you have now, that's a chance. First time being asked, there's a chance. You say to them the following line. I don't do that anymore. Don't be embarrassed. You know why? Because we say every day in tefillah, we say, Asher bachar bani, that Hashem selected us. Do you feel fortunate to be selected as a Jew? Are you fortunate? Are you proud of that? Pretend, you know, imagine there was a girl and she was engaged to, like, the greatest guy, the wealthiest and most handsome and nicest and everything you can imagine. She would show off her ring to every single person. You know, you see that? I'm engaged to that guy. She would be so proud. You know, we say we put our tefillah on every single day. We put our tefillah on. You know what we say? Verasikli li'olam. You know what verasikli means? I'm betrothed to you, God. How many people in this room rush to take their tefillah and shal yad off? That spells out Shem Hashem. We rush to take it off before davening even ends. I'll ask for a show of hands. Are you embarrassed that you're betrothed to the most beautiful, most perfect being in the world? Ve'iras tichli. Do you wait till davening ends to take it off? Are you embarrassed to be part of a group of people that can call themselves B'ni B'chori Yisrael? Asher Bachar Bani, God chose you. You're embarrassed that God selected you to be his chosen people? And if you're not, then tell your friend, I don't do that anymore. I'm not holding by that. I stopped. I stopped already. I'm a different place than I used to be. Would you be embarrassed if you were married and your friend had a bachelor party at some inappropriate place to say to him, listen, I can't go out. You would be embarrassed. It's a no-brainer. You're married. It's not for you anymore. So what things aren't for you anymore? Whatever they are, you have to know what they are in advance and isolate them. And make sure that you address them properly. And the first time that it comes up is the best chance you have to share with your family and your friends and your relatives where you're really holding right now. And raise the bar maybe where you, even where you aren't yet. Because you don't want to make sure that it slips down maybe to where you really are. You have a chance that you don't have here when you go back. A chance of Kibbutz Ava'im. While you're here, you know, Kibbutz Ava'im, maybe calling your parents, checking in once in a while. But when you go back, it's something you can't do here as much, which is honor your parents. Your parents are also wondering what you're up to. They want to know how you're doing and how much you've developed. But the most important thing you can do for your parents is to respect, is to help them around the house. Pesach time is very important. And it's a chance that you don't have often. So it's on the to-do list that you have is, what can I do to help my family out right now? Whether it be Pesach clean, or maybe go to a hotel, you don't need to Pesach clean, but help out, do your errands, assist with the younger siblings, whatever it is that you think, go and take them out for coffee. Just hang out, spend time. It's an opportunity you have at home that you don't have over here as much, at least. There's a the Gemara brings down in a Megillah discussion, a question, which Adar is really the Adar we should celebrate? You know, right now we're towards the end of Adar Sheni. Which Adar is Adar we should celebrate? Now, as we all know from Yeshiva, we celebrated the second Adar. Some of you may celebrate the first Adar also, but if you were, you wasn't invited to that one. We celebrated the second Adar. Now, why we do that? So the Gemara there, Rashi quotes an idea that we want to be so make gula l'gula. We had a great opportunity to have a gula with the story of Esther and Mordechai. We want to go off the tails of that gula, build off that momentum to the next gula. But if you have a gula, a great moment, then you have a whole entire month break of other Sheni, which would not be, in theory, the Purim holiday, then it's a dead time that was hard for us to relate back to and be inspired by, which is why, when it comes to coming back right now, when we're going to be away for a little bit of time, we come back to the yeshiva, even if you're in Israel, but you're not in the yeshiva setting, there's also some level coming back. You have to make sure the momentum is building and you keep it going. The greatest level of success, there are three types of guys who come back from America, at least in my understanding. There are guys who didn't try. They didn't try. They, you know, Baruch Hashem, yeshiva's done, let your hair down a little bit, figuratively. And unless you're Ben, then literally. No, it's okay. It's not. That guy comes back and he feels like, you know, why am I back here? I wish I was back there. I don't know what I'm doing here. You have guy number two who comes back and he tried so hard. He wanted so badly to do well. And he struggles. He had a hard time with it. And that guy can either do one of two things. He either is going to feel like, I can't do this anymore. I give up. I tried and it didn't work. Or he'll be like, you know what? I have another few weeks left. I'll make sure that I correct every mistake that I made. I'm a different place when I come back afterwards. And they work really hard on fixing whatever problems they didn't succeed in. And you have guy number three. And this is the one I hope for all of you and hope you hope for yourself. Guy who made goals. He had wishes and dreams and he kept them. And he's coming back with momentum. He's building. He didn't give up. Okay, the hours were less, but he continued. He went to Davi, of course, every single day. He had a Seder in learning. He had a great time with his family. Appropriately, he added to the Seder, etc., etc. That person who has momentum, when you get back here with that momentum, the next 5 weeks or 6 weeks of yeshiva, it's a different yeshiva for you. Because you know what you could do, having been there, and now you're ready to fly. We say about Avram and Sarah. We say Avram was ba bayamim. It was all, they were all together as one set of life because they never stopped putting the pedal to the metal. They always were looking for the next opportunity to grow and to develop. And that's a challenge whether you're in Israel, in yeshiva, or even if you're here in the actual study hours of the day. If your life is split up between your base measure self and out of base measure self, then you stand a very small chance of being able to really succeed and thrive. It requires continuity. It requires consistency. It requires momentum. We're told Rabbi Akiva, and the Sikhos Moser, Rabbi Chashlis brings it down, explains Rabbi Akiva. Something I mentioned in the past, I think. He went to study for many years, 12 years, before he came back home. And he came back home at perfect timing to hear his wife say to a neighbor, that, you know, his neighbor said to the wife, how long will you be a living widow for? Meaning, Nebuch, your husband's not even here anymore. 12 years he's been gone. And she said back to the other person, her neighbor, you know what?
he wanted 12 more years, I'd give it to him also. Rabbi Akiva has just traveled home, has not seen his wife and family for 12 years. And he should be makir tov to his wife for being moser nefesh, to give him this chance. The first thing she was knocking on the door and say, honey, I'm home, just for a few hours, I heard what you said, but let's have coffee together. You know, catch me up with the family, what's going on with the family. He turned around on a dime and he went right back. He didn't even say hi to his wife for 12 more years. Chaim Shalev was asked, why would he do that? And he says, it's so simple. Because 12 plus 12 is not the same thing as 24. In numerical value, there might be, but not in reality, they're not. If you have 12 and a break, another 12, it's just two separate 12s. But if you spent 24 consecutive years working, you become a Rabbi Akiva. You have two choices. You're taking a break. You're allowed to take breaks. There's one coming up, it's programmed into your schedule. If you let it be a vacation where you vacate, which means it's empty, there's nothing there, then you had 5 or maybe 7, 6 weeks, then you had maybe 33, then you have 5. It doesn't equal anything. Just all separate entities. But if you figure out a way to maintain and to have a plan and to work, then there's a chance that you put it all into one big thing and you can be like an Avram Zakein Baba Yamim. Shnei Chayesar, it's all one push to success. The truth is, all this depends upon the following most important part, and I'll stop with this last idea. About how you view yourself. What are your dreams for yourself? What do you wish for yourself? Do you want to be great? Do you hope one day to be a beacon of light to people who know you? Or you want to just be. You want to be. There's a story I like to tell over. Not the cup story. A different story I like to tell over. There's a... And actually, I saw something beautiful. Where's Yonah? Where's Yonah? Yonah here? Okay, I should come out like that. Anyways, in his school, I saw this actually in his school as well. Oh, Yonah, there you go. So I saw it in Yonah's school. He knows what I'm talking about, I'm sure, right now. But don't tell anyone yet. There's a story of Rav Mordechai Gifter. And Rav Gifter, you know, some people collect... I collected when I was younger, sports cards, baseball cards, whatever it was. So he collected Rebbe faces, Rebbe pictures. And he had an entire scrapbook or album of Rebbe pictures. And his one Shabbos day, looking with his father at the pictures, and this picture, and there's this girl, and all of a sudden, gets to an empty page. And after he skips the page, he keeps going. He says, what happened? Did the picture fall out? Mordechai, did the picture fall out? What happened to the picture there? And he looks at his dad sheepishly, and he says, you know, actually, I'm saving that page for me one day. One day, maybe I could get myself on that page. And because he cared to, he got on that page. Can you imagine, if you have no plans to get there, then you will never get there. In Yeshiva High School of Greater Washington, where Jonas Laskin was a esteemed student. So there's a beautiful, beautiful part of the wall that has pictures of Gedolim. And smack in the middle is a mirror. And you stand in front of those pictures and you see yourself looking back. The Gedolim, and then there's you. How many people here would dream of their picture among those faces? Probably most of you wouldn't. And therefore, there was no chance that ever would happen. If I changed the pictures there and I had pictures of guys, athletes, actors, wealthy people, and there's a mirror there, we'd all run in front, you know? For what? So that what? So when you're 33 years old, you can retire from football because of the concussions that it's caused you. So when you are checking out of your Alcoholics Anonymous and drug addiction therapies, so you can hopefully find some team that will take a chance on you. So when you're going through your fourth spouse, like every other actor and actress out there, maybe you'll find a fifth one around the corner at your next movie shoot. That's what you're aiming for those role models. So that's aiming for, so you'll have Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, hopefully you won't have those lines I described to you. But you'll never get on that picture we other described otherwise. If you have dreams of yourself succeeding in these areas, then every decision that you make counts. You don't have an off-season. There's no off-season for a Jew. There's never a time when you were in Bachar Bana when God didn't choose you. Which means you're always connected to Him. There's never a time in our tefillin or not spelling out Shem Hashem. There as Tichli, I'm always engaged to God.
Which means whether I'm in yeshiva or I'm out of yeshiva, I'm always in my mind of what can I do to help me get to the next level. In Parsha Shemini, well, before I get to that, last hour, Rosh Hashanah Aruch one time was asked, you know, how did he become one of the Gedolei Ador? What did he do? He said, I did what I was supposed to do. When I was supposed to be davening, I was davening. I was supposed to be eating, I was eating. I was supposed to learn, I was learning. But to go doctor, I went to whatever I was supposed to do, I did. I just did what I was supposed to have done in my life. That's all I did. If you stick to what you're supposed to do, when God gave us direction, how to live our lives, then you too will be great one day. You'll be great. It's when you start to think that you know better. This week's parsha was a story of someone who thought they knew better. We have two of Aaron's children who were big tzaddikim. Nadav and Aviv were big, big tzaddikim, according to Chazal, maybe even bigger in some ways than Moshe and Aaron themselves. B'kravaya Kadesh, I will be sanctified among those who are holiest with me, says Hashem. And it wasn't Moshe and Aaron who died. It was Nadav and Aviv who died. They were the holiest of the holies. But they thought they knew better. They thought that they had their own plan. And that plan caused them to go astray. And we have corresponding to that, we have Parshas Para, where this is the whole concept of not having a clue what you're doing, but just follow suit. Follow the script. They're opposites, butting heads. If you want to be great, you follow the script. You do only what you're supposed to do. Like Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach. I'll end with one quick story I saw this morning. And the title of the shiur is based on this. Chafetz Chaim, when he was 83 years old, he called in a student to see him. The student goes to greet him. He says to the student, I want you to open my mouth for me. I want you to just open my mouth and look inside. So it's a very strange request. You know, most people don't, I mean, unless you're at the dentist's office, that doesn't usually happen. And the student's like, I can't not, he has my Rebbe. Like, I got, Rebbe wants me to open his mouth, I'll open his mouth. So he like, you know, came over there and opened his mouth. He said, I want you to count my teeth. It's like, this, you know, strange, but again, Chafetz Chaim, like, count his teeth. Count one of 32. He says, wow. He says, you're 83 years old. He says, you have every single one of your teeth intact, in place, and they look good. He says, you know why? Because I took care of them. Shmiras lashon, I took care of my mouth, I took care of my teeth. If you take care of your teeth, they take care of you. They also keep it. If you take care of them, they take care of you. Do you care about yourself? Do you want to take care of yourself? If you want to take care of yourself, you would never ingest things that are bad for you. Imagine that you're lactose intolerant. You wouldn't go and have, you know, the whole Max set and clip with a glass of milk in one hand and the Max set in the other hand. You wouldn't entertain drinking a glass of milk. If you're lactose intolerant, it's to be too painful for you. If you understood how painful it would be for you to ingest what you ingest sometimes, to watch that movie, to be with that person, to eat that food, to not daven that way, it's painful. Your teeth will be rotten. They'll fall out. They'll be crooked. You're not taking care of them. If you wish for yourself one day, if you wish, to be something special, to be someone who is chosen and is proud to be chosen, then these next few weeks are the most critical part. Because for those of you who are still in the middle of your experience of being Israel and yeshiva, these next weeks will make it or break it for you. I don't mean when you get back here. I mean when you're not here. Because you somehow manage to speak with your babe and work with your friends and show everyone who you really are, momentum carries and builds until who knows where it ends up. But if you give up, and you take a step off, and you let the bar down, let your guard down, so then that picture I described earlier, that terrible picture, a terrible scene of someone who just doesn't feel it, doesn't get it, that's Nebuchadnezzar around the corner for us. I give you a bracha. You have the strength of character, the wisdom, the friendships and relationships with people that will give you the ability to choose right, and if you make a mistake, which might happen, to pick yourself up from the ground and to not give up. Mr. Shem, I look forward to seeing you back here in a few weeks from now, more inspired than ever.
Sorry. Y'all, we're going to eat lunch right now. Anybody who needs their passport, if you need your passport, over the next few days.